This is Finding Center, a daily half hour of spiritual focus. Today on Finding Center, we'll hear an Ensign College campus devotional address by Jody Choen, titled Seeing with an Eye of Faith. It was given March 3rd, 2026.
What a blessing it is to be together today and to have pause in our day that we can talk about the Savior. And I pray that, echo Sophie's prayer, that the Spirit will be here today, that you can feel the inspiration that you're seeking in your life right now. As President mentioned, I came to Ensign College just over a year ago, and I previously worked at BYU Hawaii, and I worked also at BYU. I'm also a product of church education system. I graduated from seminary, and that provided me a spiritual foundation that started my relationship with Heavenly Father and my Savior. Completing my college education at BYU has opened doors of opportunities I never imagined for myself. I have lived the fulfillment of Elder Clark Gilbert's words. He once spoke about the parable of the intercept and the slope. He said, Jesus Christ sees divine potential no matter where we start. He saw it in the beggar, the sinner, and the infirm. He saw it in the fisherman, the tax collector, and even the zealot. No matter where we start, Christ considers what we do with what we are given. While the world focuses on our intercept, God focuses on our slope. In the Lord's calculus, he will do everything he can to help us turn to our slopes toward heaven. And as this has been true for me, I know it will be true for you as well, in this very special place that we get to be. Recently, I went to the eye doctor for an annual exam. I've worn eyeglasses since I was 10 years old because I'm nearsighted and I have difficulty seeing things far away. But this time, I'm having more difficulty reading. And so a very common solution is either bifocals or progressive lenses, which would enable me to see both near and far. But I have to be honest, I've been resistant to this solution. These are the kinds of glasses that my parents and grandparents wore, and these are not for me. My optometrist is very patient and kind, and she provided me with an option which I was willing to try. One prescription for my right eye to see far away, and another for my left eye to see for reading. And I speak this out into the air. It doesn't sound like a really great solution. But nevertheless, it helped me to avoid progressive lenses, and I have become quite comfortable with this arrangement. However, in this exam, my eye doctor recommended an adjustment to this solution. She said if I wanted to improve my vision, I needed to order a new prescription. So I relented and I ordered new glasses. When I put on my new glasses, wow, is all I can say. I could see the price tag in front of me, and I could also read the sign on the aisle across from me. And when I left the store, I could see the grass, like individual blades of grass, and I could also see trees on the mountainside. I had no idea how blind I had been. Perhaps some of you have had this experience where you've gotten a new pair of glasses and it hasn't improved your ability to see. It just feels miraculous, and I love my new ability to see. In the opening chapters of the Book of Mormon, we're presented with Lehi's vision and the responses to this vision by his family. Nephi wanted to see the things his father had seen. He recorded, I had desired to know the things that my father had seen, and believing that the Lord was able to make them known unto me, as I sat pondering in my heart, I was caught away in the Spirit of the Lord. Nephi's desires to know, his belief in the Lord, and his prayers led him to have a remarkable seeing experience of his own. He was subsequently instructed by a heavenly messenger to look or to behold 21 times. Because he was given a vision, because he was willing to look and behold, and he saw the Savior and his ministry among many other important things that were to come. However, Laman and Lemuel's response to their father's vision is equally instructive. Their desires were, understandably, on their inheritance that they had just left behind, their land, their gold, their silver, and their precious things. They murmured against Lehi because they knew not the dealings of that God who had created them. They expressed to Nephi the things that their father had spoken were hard to be understood. "Have you inquired of the Lord?" Nephi asked. He knew if they would just ask the Lord, he would answer their questions. However, Laman and Lemuel responded, "We have not, for the Lord maketh no such thing known unto us." They didn't understand the relationship of looking to obtaining understanding or spiritual sight. The response of Laman and Lemuel is honestly not so different than my own response to my eye doctor. For years, she asked, "Jody, would you like to see better?" "No," I was basically what I said. "I'm comfortable. I'm getting by just fine. I don't need that kind of help." In Nephi's response, we find three practices that we can do each day to look forward with an eye of faith: to see him, to hear him, and to speak of him. First, to see him. Spiritually seeing comes because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Great faith is not required. Alma taught, even a particle of faith, yea, even if ye can no more than desire to believe, is all that is needed to plant the seed of faith. Nephi started with only a desire to know. While some are born with the spiritual gift of faith, it's simply, for most of us, it's simply a daily choice, a choosing to look or to see. I love this scripture in Moses 6:63. We read, "And behold, all things have their likeness, and all things are created and made to bear record of me, both things which are temporal and things which are spiritual, things which are in the heavens above and things which are on the earth, and things which are in the earth and the things which are under the earth, both above and beneath, all things bear record of me." All things. We have a fluency of seeing him in some things: bread and water, light and darkness, even wheat and tares. But he would have us see him in all things: rocks, flowers, sunshine, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, the train or the car in which we ride. How do these things testify or help us to see Jesus Christ? When I have posed these examples to students, it has only taken a minute for them to identify likenesses of our Savior. Rocks provide a strong foundation for a structure to withstand storms. We have been taught to build our foundations upon the rock of our Redeemer. Sunshine and air surround and sustain us without us even thinking about it. Both provide the conditions for life to thrive as free gifts to us, as are so many tender mercies that the Lord gives us every day. The clothing we wear can testify how the atonement of Jesus Christ covers our sins and infirmities. The adversary seeks to keep us naked in our sins, but the Savior clothes us in a robe of righteousness. The transportation we use moves us to our desired destinations with comparably very little effort on our part. This is a great reminder of his grace, or the enabling power or strength he extends to us through the atonement of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, it is his grace that returns us to the presence of our Heavenly Father with comparatively little effort on our part. I'd like to share one example of how a flower can testify of Christ. Several years ago, our young family lived in Texas, where my husband attended graduate school. Every spring, the Texas state flower called bluebonnets blossomed and turned fields into beautiful seas of deep blue. They even bloom immediately adjacent to the highways. This spring transformation is lovely to behold. One day I was driving down the highway, lost in my own thoughts of things that I needed to do before I picked the kids up from school. For some reason, the bluebonnets caught my attention. Not only were they in full bloom, but they also seemed to be waving at me. In their motion, I could hear in my mind hundreds of bluebonnets calling out to me, "Hello, Jody. We are happy to see you today. We are happy to surround you today." I felt a swell of emotion as these words penetrated my heart. I knew it felt like the Lord was letting me know he was with me, even in my ordinary responsibilities. These little blue bonnets did for me as the Savior did in his ministry. They gave sight to the blind and pointed this follower to heaven. Alma has also taught, all things denote there is a God, yea, even the earth and all things that are upon the face of it, yea, and its motion, yea, also all the planets which move in their regular form to witness there is a supreme creator. From the heavens above to the earth beneath, all things testify of him. Why then can it be so difficult sometimes to see him in our lives? While in graduate school, an image like this one was introduced to me. Depending on the source of light, one might fully believe the object is a square, while another might see a triangle or a circle. Each perspective is dependent upon our vantage point and the source of light we are using to look at the object. We see a similar range of individual perspectives in our social media feeds. Some wholeheartedly say square, while others cry, no, circle, it's a circle. And others insist with great passion, triangle, triangle, triangle. But Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the light. And we can invite others to come and see from his vantage point and perspective as we demonstrate sincere concern and love in all our communications. Though we may disagree, President Dallin H. Oaks once said, we should not be disagreeable. In his recent BYU devotional address, President Oaks pointed out two basic methods of learning or seeing. One, the scientific method, which comes from the evolving disclosures from the discoveries of man. And two, the spiritual method, which begins with faith in God and relies on Scripture's inspired teaching and personal revelation. Going back to the example of my flower experience, it could easily be explained or seen from a scientific viewpoint. The flowers weren't waving at me. That was simply the air of the passing cars that caused their motion. But the spiritual viewpoint tells me that all created things are both temporal and spiritual, and that the Spirit speaks to our minds and hearts as I had felt the Spirit speak to my heart that day. It's difficult to prove messages of the Spirit in a scientific way. If we want to have spiritual eyes, we need to see with eyes of faith and see heaven's blessings which surround us every day. If you or others are having difficulty seeing him, you can ask the Savior, help thou mine unbelief. Jesus Christ brings sight to unseeing eyes. He told the Nephites, bring them hither, and I will heal you, for I have compassion on you, and my bowels are filled with mercy. And he did heal everyone that were brought forth unto him. When I was in high school, a seminary teacher gave a prayer challenge to do over the Christmas break. It was to pray for 10 minutes. The first night I knelt at my bedside and I poured out my heart to the Lord, I thought of everything I could pray for. Thinking I had said all that I could, I peeked at my alarm clock. 3 minutes had passed. What in the world was I supposed to pray for 7 more minutes? But determined to complete this challenge, I sat and said nothing. It was the first time in my prayer life that I had allowed time for listening. Thoughts came to my mind, and I found I had more to pray about. I started to pray about specific things, and I even had one of these specific things answered before the end of that Christmas break. Our prayers are key to developing our spiritual hearing. Elder Stephen D. Shumway recently shared, there are many ways we can work on our prayers, including our posture, listening, recording and acting on impressions, and developing sincere questions to take to the Lord in counsel. Elder Shumway went on to share an experience he had with President Oaks about his spiritual hearing. He asked President Oaks, with the many important things you have to do each day, how do you know what matters most? President Oaks answered that the first thing he does each morning is to offer a prayer and expressed his foremost desire to know and do the will of God. He then goes on a walk and ponders what the Lord would have him do. He then prays again for confirmation of his thoughts and further direction to divide the light and darkness from that day's decisions. What a great question we can ask. How to divide the light and darkness from the day's decisions. As we pray always, whether on a walk, in a car, on a train, in a class or a devotional or at work, the Lord will consecrate our efforts for the work we have that day, this week, this month, this semester, and even on into the eternities. A year ago, President Jeffrey R. Holland spoke of two imperatives he was given during a near-death experience and was directed to share these with the church. One imperative was to testify more of Jesus Christ. The other was to pray more than you pray. However much you prayed, pray more. In however many places you have prayed, pray in more places. However many times in the day you have prayed, pray more times in the day. The Lord was quite literal when he said, pray always. We are to be serious about it and a lot more. We are to pray more and in more places and in more often than we do. If you've prayed a lot, pray more. Sometimes it may feel like heaven is not hearing us, even for righteous desires. In these seasons, we may need to alter our requests. A friend once shared in a devotional at BYU Hawaii a great insight how to adapt Alma 32 to know if your prayer requests are good prayer seeds. She said this, "Now we will compare our prayer request to a seed. Now if you give place to a specific question in your heart, and if it be a true seed or a good prayer question, behold, it will begin to swell within your breasts. And when you feel these swelling motions, you will begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good prayer seed, or that the question is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul. Yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding. Yea, it beginneth to be delicious to me. But if it groweth not, or it isn't answered, behold, we may need to experiment and alter our request." In the Book of Mormon, Alma's people prayed for deliverance from bondage, but the Lord's immediate answer was not deliverance. Instead, it was to strengthen them that they could bear up their burdens with ease. Alma's people heard this answer because they poured out their thanks to God because he had eased their burdens. I've received answers to prayers long after they were offered. Before we moved from Texas, my husband and I had contemplated various employment opportunities. I prayed for guidance to be led to a community that would be good for our family, that would be professionally fulfilling for Brent, for our children to have friends and opportunities that would bless them, and to be surrounded by people of faith. In the busyness of the ensuing months and even years, I forgot about this prayer. Brent took a faculty position at BYU Hawaii, and I started working there as well, and life went on. But after living there a few years, I was walking home from campus one day, and the Lord brought this prayer back to my mind. He reminded me how he had answered every request I had made. We had landed in a good community. Brent had a professionally fulfilling role. Our children had friends and opportunities. And we were surrounded by people of faith. The Lord remembered my prayer even when I had forgotten it, and I needed to thank him. President Russell M. Nelson taught, as we seek to be disciples of Jesus Christ, our efforts to hear him need to be ever more intentional. It takes conscientious and consistent effort to fill our daily lives with his words, his teachings, his truths. When we seek to hear, truly hear, his son, we will be guided to know what to do in any circumstance. I have heard heaven speaking to me countless times while reading the Book of Mormon. I've heard him while sitting in Sunday school, in devotionals like this one, in the temple, and as often in my locker as in the celestial room. The Holy Ghost speaks to us as we intentionally create spaces and places to listen and hear. I know Heavenly Father hears and answers our prayers even if we have forgotten or a long time has passed. He does for us, is doing for us that which seemeth him good. Third, to speak of him. Nephi used his words in faith-filled ways, including to pray, to not rebel, to teach, to obey, and to be led by the Spirit. In his BYU devotional, President Oaks spoke about the abundance of speculation and false information in podcasts and on social media that surround us. Recently, Elder Anderson at BYU Idaho spoke of the turbulent environment that we are in right now and spoke of distraction. We swim or scroll in contentious environments, and it's easy to get caught in its currents and to have fiery darts enter our hearts. President Oaks also described a young man who, after hearing the testimony of a stake president, said, "I've not heard anyone speak like that in months." Brothers and sisters, let that not be our spheres. Let's commit today to speak more of Christ, to rejoice in Christ, to preach of Christ, to prophesy of Christ, so anyone that we know in our spheres can know what source we look to for a remission of our sins, and they can too. President Oaks counseled, "Seek friends and associates who are striving to follow the Lord, with whom you can feel the Spirit and reinforce your faith. Surround yourself with people who believe." Earlier this year, I went to dinner with friends with whom we lived and worked during our years at BYU Hawaii. We could have discussed so many things. We hadn't seen each other for a long time, but our evening ended up being filled with stories after story of God's hand in the lives of our families. With her permission, I would like to close with a story from my friend Martha, who felt to share a very faith-filled story about a trip she had to Guangzhou. She shared, "After three unforgettable weeks exploring China, my daughter and I were exhausted but ready to fly home. We went to check our bags at the airport, but joy turned to panic. My passport was missing. I tore through every bag, every pocket, nothing. My stomach dropped. We couldn't board. I called the hotel, praying it was still in our room. No luck. The embassy told me we needed a police report, but the police station didn't open until after the next day's only flight. It was late, and we trudged back to our hotel, defeated and heartbroken. My daughter had given up hope, but I hadn't. Using Google Translate, I asked strangers in the city sidewalks if anyone had seen a navy blue U.S. passport. People shook their heads, some with sympathy, others barely glancing up. Hours passed. By 9 p.m., crushed and exhausted, I sank under the cold sidewalk, tears streaming. I prayed again. Not a long, polished prayer, just a desperate plea for help. Just then, a taxi rolled up beside us. I waved the driver down and played my translated message, asking if he'd seen my passport. My daughter thought I was completely crazy. The driver listened, reached into his pocket, and pulled out a U.S. passport. My hand shook as I opened it. It was my passport. We screamed. We laughed. We cried. We jumped up and down on the sidewalk like overjoyed children. The driver smiled and asked for 50 yuan reward. Gladly. We dashed to the ATM, rebooked our flights, and we were finally on our way home. She said, "I still don't know how that driver came to have my passport, but I do know this. God knew exactly where it was, and he brought it back to us. This wasn't coincidence. It was divine intervention and a miracle born of faith and prayer." May we have more laughter and grateful tears and jumping up and down about the Savior in our lives. I testify that he surrounds us every day if we choose to see with eyes of faith. Our campus hallways and elevators testify of Jesus Christ. We are quite literally encircled in the arms of his love at Ensign College. The Lord will lead you with great clarity during this season of study and in this place. He will bless you with increased capacity to complete your work, and you can in turn stand as a witness of him, thus becoming both capable and trusted. May we see him, hear him, and speak of him is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Finding Center. Join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Mountain, 1 o'clock Eastern Time for a half hour of inspiration and recentering. Today we heard Seeing with an Eye of Faith by Jody Choen. Find a link to the full text, audio, and video of this address at byuradio.org/findingcenter. Finding Center is a production of BYU Broadcasting.